Subscribe to the Hit That Line Podcast Network, brought to you by Breeden RV Center. Breeden RV Center, family-owned and operated, a no-pressure, laid-back atmosphere, and always home of the free maintenance for life.
Y'all better put him in the Heisman.
Got that award right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light Seltzer, for those anytime easy drinking occasion.
Guys, I've been listening to y'all since this show aired.
Just wanted to tell Ty, I appreciate how much you know about the Razorbacks. I mean, you're very knowledgeable for as young as you are.
There are people that have saved up all year and done whatever it took just to get a ticket, just to get a glimpse at the Razorbacks.
Got my keg in the freezer. We're ready to get this thing rolling and go home, baby.
A come-from-behind 10th-inning win for opening day, and the Razorbacks mob Jalen Battles as he tries to get away from his teammates all the way out in right field.
Another come-from-behind win for this Arkansas baseball team. Now, it was looking a little hairy, a little dicey for a sec, but you did find a way to beat SEMO yesterday. We're going to talk a little more about SEMO coming up with Scott Tabor, former Razorback pitcher, 1979 College World Series team at 8 o'clock this morning. Also want to talk about the Sounds of Bomb. They do this every year. We're going to play a few clips from different walk-up songs from the Arkansas baseball team that they have picked. There was a really cool podcast that our buddy Connor O'Gara with Saturday Down South did with Sam Pittman, and he got into a few things that I think many of you would be interested in hearing what Sam had to say about Barry Odom, on how he didn't think he was going to get the Arkansas job. That's coming up on the Morning Rush. Also, a little update for you, Arkansas basketball. You know who your opponent is next Saturday. It's Texas A&M and LSU tomorrow, plus some NCAA tournament news that I think is very important. As well, it is National Carnival Day, so I want to talk about your favorite game and your favorite food at carnivals, circuses, state fairs. It's all encompassed into one.
Who's the most like a carny on this show? That'd be the other thing we talk about. Yeah. So. If we talk about corn dogs, I mean, LSU is coming in this weekend. We'll talk corn dogs, too.
I just need to give my best Katy Perry impression and be holding up a corn dog. Lee Corso's face, I think they, I don't know if it was, I want to say they played LSU, and it might have actually been in Oxford, and Katy Perry is just holding up this corn dog, and for those who don't know, it's a pop artist that's more my generation's taste, and Lee Corso is he's smiling, and he has never smiled that in like that in his entire life. It was unbelievable, and that really is a moment corndog wise that kind of sticks with me. And it, for whatever reason, it's LSU.
I don't know if they were playing LSU or they were playing Bama, but they were probably doing the picks. But it doesn't matter. The prop, she had props that day. I remember she brought several stage props with her. To make her picks there at the Grove that day.
And Lee Corso's never smiled so much. So where do you want to start Carnival? Do you want to start baseball?
No,
Pittman?
I want to start Carnival. I mean, footlong corn. I mean, come on. Turkey legs, all that stuff. Man, I'm torn because this baseball game yesterday, I got several takes on that, but this basketball game's big for this weekend. Let's start with baseball, then we'll get to, because I know we're going to talk a lot about the basketball game coming up, but you look at it, you laid it out well. Another come-from-behind win for Arkansas as they have to go to extra innings to beat SEMO. Now, it's easy to play the name game and say SEMO. You know, people start getting concerned. I wasn't looking at social media during the game that much yesterday. I'm sure you probably had some wry comments about, you know, what's going on with this team. But I'm going to tell you, Phil made this comment and just kind of went through it. I was listening to him and Bubba call the game. Are you starting to have any kind of, you know, concerns is probably too strong a word, but are you sitting up and paying attention to Arkansas's lack of consistency at the plate with the bats? I mean, pitching obviously is carrying this team at this point. You say, well, what do you mean? You got 13 in that first game against Texas Tech. Well, a lot of that came from pass balls and errors, and you got a lot of that late. You scored, what, 5 in the ninth inning just to give you the win.
Mm-hmm.
But you had a lot of help from Texas Tech with errors they made to put you in those positions. The Texas game, you had 3 of your 4 runs on a home run. So, I mean, you just kind of walk your way through last weekend and then yesterday, and hey, Arkansas is striking out a lot. They're not having the success that they're going to need to get through SEC play at the level we're expecting now. I'm not concerned. I don't think SEMO will be within 4 or 5 runs the rest of the way this weekend. I think Arkansas will light them up, but you need to see Arkansas probably have a little more contact and a lot fewer strikeouts the rest of the way. And listen, last thing we're worried about is Dave Van Horn getting his team ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a little bit of, yeah, you won three games. You did it with pitching. At some point, you're going to have to win these games with hitting. And pitching wasn't exactly solid yesterday. I think Arkansas maybe had a little bit of a hangover from the previous weekend.
What he said about Caleb Bolden was he didn't have command. He was on short rest, but he did want the ball for the game yesterday. That's what Dave Van Horn remarked in the postgame press conference, which you can always watch, hitthatline.com and our YouTube channel at hitthatline. I agree with your statement so far about hitting, but it kind of reminds me of Casey Opitz. Casey Opitz doesn't have the best batting percentage ever, but Casey is known for his timely hitting. And
a lot of times it's about when you get the hits.
And you know? Exactly. And at the end of the day, this team through four games has had timely hitting, whether it's coming back against Texas Tech, over SEMO. That, to me, is more important than just the consistency throughout the game, that the fact that they can wake their bats up when they need to be woken up. Now, your point about...
They've been a late-inning team. I mean, here's the positive, or here's what... This is a team that's training themselves or building the confidence, already has the confidence, is probably the better way to state it, that they're never out of it. Down four or five runs going into the eighth or ninth, you cannot put these guys away.
And I think that's what's been shown throughout Arkansas teams over the years, that Dave Van Horn, regardless what the circumstances look like, and I think probably the prime example is 2015, where that team did not look like at all a postseason, much less a college World Series team, and then they just came roaring back. They found a way to beat Oklahoma State in Stillwater, then they beat Missouri State in that wild super regional. I know Keith Gunnett was ticked off that his team had to leave Springfield and come to Fayetteville because that minor league snafu where they had the whatever, but they, at the end of the day, you're 4-0 and your regular starters are through the rest of the weekend, and you're in Bob Walker this weekend, and there's a lot to be happy about so far in 2021 with this baseball team.
Austin brings up a good point we hadn't gotten to yet, and that's the left-handed pitching that Arkansas seems to consistently struggle with. Dylan Dodd for Southeast Missouri State went six innings, struck out 10 in the 26 batters he faced yesterday. So he was on fire with it. And that's true. I mean, you go back to last year, year before, really 2019, left-handed pitching has consistently caused Arkansas issues.
Was it the Florida State guy, Tommy, 2 years ago that you just could not hit? You couldn't find it because we were watching that game at Joe's Grill and Canteen. I want to say that was a lefty as well. Lefties are just hard. Like, they're hard to defend in basketball. They're hard to hit in football. I feel like left-handed quarterbacks are typically relatively accurate. It's just unique because you're so used to defending or hitting or whatever the case may be against 90-something percent right-handers or right.
They make strong radio men, too. So, So I'm a lefty, by the way. I'm in that 10% for those out there.
I think people gathered that.
Well, you know, it's early. It's
still waking up.
It's 6:08. I'm barely awake. So what can I expect from those listings? So I don't know. I'm not anywhere near concerned. I got in Dave, we trust. But, you know, these are some things that are just early observations. But at the end of the day, they determine the winner with runs. And who scores the most runs wins the game. And Arkansas has been able to do that 4 times.
4-0. JT Notsbreen says, we aren't playing great, but we're finding a way to win. Zach and Paragold says, I wasn't ever worried that they were going to lose.
Well, I was.
Shane and Alma said, no concerns with this team. We probably lose games like this in previous years. This team seems to have a good makeup.
I want to tell you about the new Michelob Ultra Organic Seltzers. They come in spicy pineapple, cucumber lime, and peach pear. They're light and refreshing and are made with zero sugar. The new Michelob Ultra Organic Seltzers.
Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're number 3, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
Texas A&M allegedly is coming to Fayetteville.
Might be the right way to
Saturday.
Put it.
I think that's the prime perfect way to put it, considering you've already missed out on two Texas A&M opportunities. Now, Tommy, the tickets from the Texas A&M game on February the 6th that was originally in Bud Walton, they're going to be good to go for this game. So if you purchase one for that game, you're going to get it for this game.
Yeah, and that's one of the benefits. You know, this new electronic ticketing system they have where all the tickets are on your mobile phone. It's a pain in the butt in some ways, but this is where it makes it really easy. Is when you have a shift in the schedule like this, it's easy for them to send those right back out and make them good. So now you don't have to go dig through a drawer. Hey, where'd I put those tickets from a month ago? So makes it really easy.
Makes it really easy. And this was from Whole Hog Sports. 8 consecutive games they've had postponed, which stinks. And hopefully Arkansas in about a week from now, a week and a day, won't be one of those games. Because you get LSU tomorrow. We know Bud Walton Arena is going to be rocking. By the way, Tommy, I got a text from Claude in Fort Smith earlier this week. The decibels with only a little over 4,000 people in that arena still reached 95. That tells you how loud it was inside of Bud Walton Arena when they took on Alabama.
How do we know that?
Because he had the app on his iPhone.
Oh, there's an app? Oh, there's an app for everything. Okay. Yeah, and good for Claude.
He texted me the picture of the app on his Apple Watch.
That's cool.
And it's like, yeah, volume exceeding 95 decibels. And he's like, wow. imagine what that atmosphere would have been like if Arkansas had 20,000 packed in there.
Yeah. And I think you could have put 25,000, 30,000 in there if you had the seats, if it had been available. So key thing to watch, A&M scheduled to host Mississippi State next Wednesday at 7:30 on March 3rd. So let's see if that game plays. If that game doesn't play, I'd be worried about Saturday. Because then at that point, I mean, that's where I keep coming from. At what point do you just pull the plug? Well, now A&M's got to get themselves ready to play 2 games after missing, what'd you say, 8 in a row?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. And you got nothing. You're playing for not, what's A&M playing for? Senior night on Wednesday.
Hey, a shot at the NCAA tournament.
Whatever.
They got to go through Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday.
And I guess theoretically they could have Cinderella's slipper fit right on that foot. Oh. But I don't think that's going to happen.
No, Aggies don't have.
They don't know. They have no championship experience.
They don't have lady cheerleaders there. They don't know what a slipper is.
They don't.
Well, maybe they actually do know what slippers are, but it is.
So if they don't play Wednesday, I don't know about Saturday. So that it would not appear to me like I would think they're done if they don't play Wednesday.
You do, knock on wood, I don't think LSU has any COVID issues right now. You do get to play the Tigers tomorrow, and we've been talking about this all week. This was the revenge week for Arkansas basketball, and it was on full display Wednesday night at 8 p.m. when Alabama came here and got punched in the mouth. Now, Will Wade, Darius Days, Trenton Wofford, Cam Thomas, Javonte Smart, all those fellas are coming back in after beating you to a pulp earlier this year. They took your lunch money and they kicked you in the face. Well, now you can take it right back and kick them in a special place that hurts all males out there listening, and you can do it in front of your own fans.
Okay, so you've had 4 SEC losses. You don't get it. You know, Oklahoma State's the 5th loss for the year. You've avenged the Missouri loss. You've avenged the Alabama loss. You're not getting a shot, at least in the regular season, at Tennessee. If you hadn't played A&M, that's who I want to play for this very reason. Now you got a chance for 3 of your 4 SEC losses that you can come back and prove to the committee, yeah, but we beat these teams the second time. We split with them in the regular season. I think that's important. It's confidence building for this team, and I hope we run into Tennessee in the tournament somehow so you can possibly avenge all of them and say, well, other than Oklahoma State, which I think if Arkansas played them here, high likelihood they'd have a chance to win that game. They nearly won it there. You know, all the losses we had this year, we took care of on the flip side.
Speaking of taking care of things, the women's basketball has taken care of 7 of their last 8, 4 straight wins. They beat Auburn on the road last night, 74-69. Really impressive for what Mike Nabor's group has done this part of the season. We've talked a lot about the Arkansas men's basketball team going on run. Ladies are right behind them, Tommy.
Yeah, so who was it to put out on Twitter? Because I wanted to credit them. It may have been Bart Pullman that put out a list of all the national rankings for every sport right now. And it's an extensive list. Obviously, you start at the top, number 1 with women's track. You look at number 2 in baseball. And then you just go down the list and women's basketball.
Oh, spring sports are killing
it. Just absolutely on fire right now when you look at all the rankings. Pretty impressive when you actually see it kind of in print on your phone screen or whatever in front of you. You may not be realizing how highly respected these programs are across the spring sports we probably don't pay enough attention to.
Arkansas baseball found a way to win in the 10th inning yesterday at a wild game. Phil Elson, Bubba Carpenter were fantastic on the call. Enjoyed listening to them. I didn't watch the game. I was eating pizza last night, and we were listening to it on hitthatline.com, and Phil was quite happy. Here was the call of Jalen Battles' walk-off blooper yesterday.
Hogs trying to complete a three-run comeback. They trailed by three in the ninth, now can win it in the 10th. Lefty-righty match, one-strike pitch. Battles swings a bouncer off the glove of the pitcher, ricochets to short, no play, run scores. This one belongs to the Razorbacks.
A come-from-behind 10th-inning win for opening day, and the Razorbacks mob Jalen Battles as he tries to get away from his teammates all the way out in right field.
What a performance for this baseball team to do what they were able to do coming back and winning that game yesterday when it looked in doubt pretty significantly in the ninth inning.
I thought they were done, down three going into the ninth. It was that play there, just a comebacker, went off the glove and just kind of put the infield in disarray, and Arkansas got the winning run. How do you feel about Arkansas having to chew their nails down to the quick yesterday to win this game and then celebrating on the field the way they did against a team of SEMO's caliber? Is that okay with you?
Why don't you answer?
Or does that bother you? No, I'm asking you.
Like, as the listeners or me? Like,
no, you.
Me.
No, okay. You. Ty Richardson.
I'd celebrate a walk-off against pretty much any team. Now, what you mentioned, you'd rather them win that game pretty handily or have it in hand, but at the end of the day, you got the win. And that's why I think that matters. Now, you might say that the antics were a little overdone for SEMO, but...
Yeah, guy in me says, you're the number two team in the country. You're playing SEMO. If you don't know who that... Southeast Missouri State. Now, the name game doesn't always work in baseball, but I think just the emotion overrides it a little bit. But when you're number two in the country, You ought to feel relieved to win that game. So anyway,
That's probably fair.
Having an old man get off my lawn take there that let's not be celebrating the way we did last night. Let's just feel relieved that you got out of there with a win.
That's okay. All right, Arkansas football news for you this morning. Spring practice, Tuesday, March the 9th is when it's beginning, and the annual red-white game, April the 17th. That's when spring practice will include conclude in 2021.
I was wondering when the schedule would come out. I felt like Pittman and his staff probably had this worked out for a while, but they were trying to get all the details worked out with television because the SEC network likes to put all of these spring games on. So good to see that. April 17th is the date, because we've had we've had a couple dozen inquiries on text over the last few weeks wanting to know any news on the spring game. So I'm glad we have that now.
Yeah, got that now.
And one other thing, with the way they're doing spring break there at the University of Arkansas this year, it's like 2 days this month, 2 days in March, where they're giving some long weekends. You don't have that big layoff that normally we have seen, at least historically, Arkansas practice for a day or two, then take spring break, and then come back and get your other like 12 or 13 practices, depending on how many. Spring break won't be in the way of your schedule this year in the same sense that it has been before.
Ah, okay. Other news for you.
You wouldn't have liked that when you were there.
No, I would have
not. No week-long spring break this year.
I did. Let's see. My spring breaks included NCAA tournament games with my dad and my brother freshman year, sophomore year, going down to Jacksonville, going to the NCAA tournament games, and also staying at a Holiday Inn where they woke us up every morning with the Sabinia, the Lion King song. Junior year, breaking.
Why did they do that?
Because everyone was hungover and needed to be woken up.
Oh, your family did this to you?
No, not family. The entire resort complex, where there's a bunch of college kids.
Oh, okay. Did that. Gotcha.
I did not have a drop of alcohol that trip. I swear, I promise. Story
for me. Get back, Jenkins. Lightning's coming through the roof any moment now.
Hang on. You honestly believe him?
Hang on. I don't know. That lightning bolt's going to be
coming through.
It's coming through.
You didn't drink.
Ask my brother, ask my two buddies, Saban and Devin. I did not have a drop of alcohol that entire trip. That's a story.
What did you do during this trip again?
We were at the beach in the NCAA tournament game where they lost to North Carolina, unfortunately.
I don't believe a single word of that.
It's true. I don't know how to, I can't take you back to the week it was, but Thursday or junior year was Breckenridge. That's, I did have some stuff on that trip, and then senior year was Cabo. Yeah. Also did it as well.
You
but
keep saying it, and eventually everyone will believe it's true.
Whatever. All right, so freshman year, the NCAA tournament was a blast. And here's some NCAA tournament news as we get this glorious sound going. This is a little weird.
I'm not sure I want to fade this.
I don't know if I like this or the SEC on CBS theme song better.
Oh, I hear this. I hear it. Hello, Greg Gumbel in New York. Wow. Coming up, we'll send you out to Albany. For some of you, we'll go to Omaha.
To Dayton, Ohio.
We'll go to Omaha. Iron Eagle standing by as Iowa takes on UC Santa Barbara today.
Kevin Harlan
in the 12-5 matchup.
You and I in Georgia. Yeah, no, that's like to do it. Once the bracket...
Coming up on the Geico Halftime Report.
Yeah, it's always Geico for whatever reason. Let's see. The bracket is not going to change once it's been final. This is. Did you see this yesterday? Can you explain
they
this more?
Alternate teams, right? Is this what you're asking about?
Yeah, the alternate teams. And once the
bracket begins, so essentially it's for these first round games. So if A&M found their way into the bracket somehow, let's just use A&M as a great example, and they get to Indianapolis, Indiana, and they get to the venue, and now they're quarantined and can't play.
Yeah.
They're going to plug another team in for the first round. So there's some alternate teams that will be selected. But once that game is played, I mean, we're not going to get to the Sweet 16, and now we're going to pull an alternate team. It's just for those first games. This is another...
So do they win by forfeit if there's COVID issues?
I assume that's the way. So if
that's
you
how
get,
it read to me.
So if A&M had, well, again, well, they're the COVID team of the year, so we'll use them as an example. If A&M had gotten into the tournament, played their first round game and won, and then could not play their second round game, that game would be a forfeit, and then the other team would advance, is the way I understand it. You're not going to pull an alternate team into play. This is just another effort by the NCAA tournament to not let their $1 billion slip through their fingertips this year. I mean, the loss of the NCAA tournament was so financially devastating for the NCAA and its schools last year. They're not going to, under any circumstances, every contingency is being planned for because it's just financially devastating if this event goes another year. They've went through all their cash reserves. It's make or break time this year for them. So whatever it takes is whatever it takes.
Just some wild news when it comes to the NCAA tournament. NFL news for you this morning as we continue on to quickening headlines. Hey,
back to that. How would you like to be one of those alternate teams, though? You got a practice plan, prepare for a game that's probably not going to happen.
Yeah.
Stay plugged in. That.
Who knows in 2021?
But wouldn't that be a story if one of those alternate teams got in and got to the Sweet 16 or something? That would be a story. Kind of like John Daly getting to win the PGA in 91.
That's a good point. All right, coming up, it's National Carnival Day. I want to know what your favorite carnival day is here on the Morning Rush as we're closing out our quickening headlines. The Texans aren't trading Deshaun Watson, but he wants to be traded. This story keeps going back and forth.
They've got their new coach in place. I mean, the tweet he sent out yesterday about, you know, loyalty matters and all, you know, I don't have it. You might remember it wasn't a very long tweet.
Basically that.
That's about loyalty matters.
Yeah.
He's dug in on that. We heard Keyshawn Johnson on the way in talking about he's dug in and he cannot back off right now. He's already said he wanted, there's no going back at this point. You have to get traded. It's about these contracts where we're essentially reaching a point. There was news on Russell Wilson yesterday. He's kind of fallen out of love from the reports you hear with Seattle and wanting to trade and listed a team, including them Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, I added them Cowboys. What do you think of sign and trade, Dak for Russ?
We've reached a point where we've kind of went down the NBA path with some of these elite star quarterbacks, essentially, that, hey, yeah, you got years on your contract and you've got an agreement, but we're just going to throw that out the window now. So that's where the NFL is starting to head.
All right, last headline before we get into your favorite carnival activity. You can send those in, or food. I'm good with either 877-377.
Or does Ty look like the bearded lady?
Well, yeah. You know. One of the three. Does anyone know what this theme song is?
I hear the blues are calling, toss salads and scrambled eggs.
It's a famous TV show. It's not Cheers.
No, and maybe of course I seem a bit confused. Yeah, maybe. But
do you know what this is, Jenkins?
Jenkins' headphones on.
But I don't know what to do with those tossed salads and scrambled eggs.
You should know what this is.
You should. I just know because I pulled this audio for you this morning.
I've heard this.
Frasier.
Oh,
Frasier. Yeah. It's coming to Paramount Plus, one of the 10,000 streaming services we have out there.
Now, it's been a minute since I've watched Frasier.
I have watched this one
Cheers
time.
Was a good clue, though, there.
Yeah.
It's not Cheers.
It's well, not.
Of course it's not Cheers.
It's kind of, well, I'm trying to think. Is that the same ballpark?
Frasier was on Cheers, you know, the same, Leslie, was it? I'm getting his name wrong. Anyway, he was a character on Cheers for a number of years.
See, I didn't even know that.
Yeah,
I just associated the two together.
Mary
that shows
Diane.
What I know. But, yeah, it's coming to Paramount Plus for all you Cheers fans out there, which I know we probably have a good chunk of those listening to the Morning Rush right now.
You got Paramount?
I do not have Paramount.
I got it, had it for about 60 days to watch Yellowstone. That was the reason to get it.
Yeah.
I mean, here's what I figured out. All right, you cut the cord and you get rid of your $110 or whatever satellite plan or your cable bill. And then by the time you get Netflix, Hulu, Disney Plus, Paramount, you're back to the same amount of YouTube TV.
Mm-hmm.
You're back to the same, because you got to have YouTube to get the locals and all.
Yeah.
You're back to the same amount of money.
It's almost like they planned it that
and
way.
And now at my house, we're real morons at my house because we still have the satellite. Plus, we've got Disney Plus, Netflix, the Disney bundle.
You're made of money. That doesn't matter to you. You're good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He got houses on every coast.
You just swipe the
coasts.
Card.
Both coasts.
All three coasts.
We're just scraping to get by. Our house, we only have one.
You just keep scraping.
Give us those logins.
Yeah. Might need your logins.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Paramount, I didn't find really worth the money, but it's only $5 a month.
Think I saw where.
Well, there's different levels. Like there is, it's free to watch nothing. It's $4.99 to watch, and then the shows you really want to watch. Well, they're about $9.99 a month.
Maddie T or Phil brought it up yesterday. I think they're bringing back Beavis and Butthead on Paramount Plus as well.
Well, now there's a reason to sign up.
There's a reason to sign up. All right, so that's going to wrap it up for our quick hitty headlines here on the Morning Rush. Coming up, we will get into your favorite Carnival Day game and your favorite carnival food on the Morning Rush, as well as take your phone calls like Mr. Danny in Russellville.
Yeah, so we'll get to him and Danny
hung up. So
yeah,
we'll
get to Rod on I-40 in just a moment. He's talking about cutting the cord and lowering that bill. You don't have to make the choice. You can do both with World of Wireless. 877-305-DISH is their number. You can get a plan with three TVs in your house for less than $80 a month. So you talk about that, and then what's YouTube TV now? Like 60? Is it? Jenkins has. He's nodding his head yes. I mean, I'm just telling you, yeah, YouTube TV is a great substitute, but it's not as good as satellite. It's not as good as having that. Well, why not have satellite? You can still afford to have your Netflix and your Hulu and your Disney Plus and all that when you make the move to Dish, because you can get a 2-year price guarantee. 877-305-DISH, plus they'll give you a $100 Visa gift card. Install you this weekend. Local installers. It's a local company, even though it has an 877 number. 877-305-DISH for WOW World Wireless.
All right, Rod, real quick, your basketball remark this morning, buddy.
I just trying to find out what rank our basketball team, and that guy's name is Kelsey Grammer.
Frasier. Thank you.
Kelsey Grammer. Okay.
Yeah. I guess he kind of became famous on Cheers. Dr. Frasier Crane. So.
Oh, yeah. I used to watch him on both. I mean, you know. But always do the missile chaser or the Ferris wheel before you eat. Don't do the eat first. And I made that mistake one time. And yeah, that was bad.
Probably smart. Let's go and get the music in the background while you're talking this morning. Rod, your favorite carnival game?
Oh, ring toss, man.
Ring toss.
I love ring toss.
Ring toss is fun.
Is there a single carnival game that's not rigged?
No.
Okay.
That's a good question. That's a good statement. Rod, appreciate your call. Hopefully we'll get to see some carnival stuff coming up as we get closer and closer to summer. We'll see what happens with all this COVID stuff. But when you think about carnivals, as it is National Carnival Day here across the United States of America, you think about the food, you think about the rides, you think about the games. Now, you said pre-show, as we're discussing, we're going to talk about this, there might not need to be anything better than one of those hand-dipped corn dogs.
Oh, my Lord. I mean, and it's something about the batter when you go to a state fair and then they they dip that foot-long corn dog down in that vat of whatever it is and then fry it. And it's got just the perfect amount of sweetness to the batter. Mm-hmm. You get that mustard on there, and holy smokes. That if you gave me one carnival food and you only get one, That's the one I'm going for.
It hits different, as I would like to say. Mm-hmm. It hits different. Yeah,
it's got to have the right amount of mustard with it.
I love the corn dogs, and I mean, you think about the funnel cakes, about deep fried bacon. I mean, there's so many
funnel
things
cakes
out there.
Oh,
what you would call it, funeral cakes.
Funeral cakes. Yeah,
you'll be
eat enough of them, you'll have your funeral.
You'll be quicker. Now, the Arkansas State Fair, what I used to go to back in the day at Barton Coliseum, you pay, I think, like $20-$25, unlimited rides, which is really fun. It's probably way more than that is now.
Armband Day, they called it when I was a kid.
Now,
Armband Day.
Now, Rod brought up Ring Toss, and that is a great game. I really like the stand up the bottle game. I could never do it, but it was always fun to me.
I figured you were the hoops guy, because there's always at every carnival where you can shoot the hoops, and you know those rims are
bent. Well, here's what they shape the rims. You can't tell unless you look at it from the side. The rims are tilted up.
And they're not round, usually.
Yeah, they're not. And so like you literally have to either bank it or hit it perfectly.
Yeah.
And by perfect, it's like a centimeter off. And I enjoy doing it, but it's really hard to actually do it. I also, when I was a kid, I don't know if I can do it now, climbing up the ladder on like over the bouncy house or whatever kind of thing, and you touch the end and you get a big old bear or whatever. That was always entertaining to me.
One of my bucket list things, guys, and it's not necessarily to go to the game, but I'd love to go, is to go to the Texas State Fair. Texas and Oklahoma playing, hundreds of thousands. I want to check out someday. That's never been able to do that because we're always here busy working. Mm-hmm. But
that needs to fall on a bye weekend, is what you're saying.
Yeah, the Texas State Fair is something every year you watch the Texas-Oklahoma game, you thought, man, that looks like a great time.
I've gotten to go, man. It's Texas State Fair. I've gotten to go to the Cotton Bowl.
Is it worth going to?
It was pretty fun, man. It's a little pricey, but Aunt and Uncle were paying, footing the bill, so it was okay. I didn't mind taking up that. PA and Texarkana.
Can we go and they'll take us?
Seriously.
Can we get on their tab?
He enjoys bingo. That's his go-to carnival game.
We'll try the new Bud Light Seltzer Lemonade. The taste of sweet lemonade meets the refreshment of a hard seltzer. Original black cherry, strawberry, and peach lemonade. The new Bud Light Seltzer Lemonade.
They just threw him out of the game. He's gotten his second technical, and he's been thrown out of the ball game.
So here's what Coach Pittman told Connor. He said, I interviewed for the Arkansas job, and I didn't feel like he was going to get it. Now, this was after they had just gotten beaten by LSU in the SEC championship game. And I'm talking about when he was at Georgia. And so there's that connection or whatever. And he's talking to his wife, Jamie, and he's just talking about, I just want to pray here and be thankful for everything the Lord's given me when it comes to this. He felt like he was really distraught after he went to sleep because he just didn't feel like he was involved in the state, the SEC championship game. But he was going to be at peace if he didn't end up
He thought the timing wasn't going to work out because of his, you know, we see this with assistants and Eric being the example this year with the Chiefs where, hey, you keep playing games and your team keeps advancing and that takes you out of interview opportunities.
Yeah, and
kind of the same thing as what he was worried about.
He came to grips with, hey, if I don't get the job, I don't get the job. Still had offensive line coach at Georgia. That's not anything to rub your nose at.
Making nearly $1 million a year as a position coach. So, absolutely.
And he talked about how fortunate he was in all the jobs he had. Nevertheless, and thankfully, to Hunter Yurchak's credit, the board of trustees, boosters, everyone that got this finagled. Who's your text right man that I'm forgetting?
John Fagg.
Thankfully, they got this done because I think everyone listening to the program right now is ecstatic that he's your head football coach.
Well, I mean,
it is interesting that like he didn't think he was going to get the job
in the end. And I've had more than a couple people that would know tell me the same story independently. So I trust what I'm getting ready to say is being probably 90%+ right on. Is obviously, at the end, we all know it came down to Barry Lunny Jr. and Sam Pittman, and Hunter Yurchak went with Sam Pittman. But both of those guys were interested in a lot of the same coaches and assistant coach. My understanding is one of the first calls that Barry had made was to see if Sam would come join him and be on the staff with Barry Lunny. And that was one of Barry's big pitches is I've got Sam Pittman going to come and my understanding is be a coordinator for him, be the O-line coach and be a coordinator on the offensive side for him. That was very impressive, the staff that Barry was going to be put together that would have been anchored on that side with Sam. So, you know, and obviously Barry went on to be an offensive coordinator at UT San Antonio. Yeah. But when it came down to the end, I think Sam would have been back at Arkansas one way or the other, whether the job had went to him as head coach or he'd have been down the hall just a little bit.
And I think at some point in time, Barry Lunny Jr. is going to make his way back to Arkansas. But like others, you got to go out and prove yourself a little bit. Maybe he was ready initially, but at the same time, I think there's something to be said about earning your way. And I know it's at UTSA right now as the OC. He's probably going to get another job next couple of years at a Power 5 school. You get more experience and you lead yourself up. I mean, do you think Barry Lunny Jr. was ready for everything that a head coaching job at the University of Arkansas is required? And I know he's, a year or two older than you?
Yes,
and I know
he's 2 years old. He graduated 2 years ahead of me in high school.
And he's got a Rolodex of great coaches, including his father, Rick Jones, all these great high school who would have been fantastic analysts, football ops, name a job, plug them in.
Sounding board.
Doesn't matter. Yeah, just to hear them off.
Yeah.
But I think there's a lot to be gained by him going off, having success at other places, which I think he will, and then coming back eventually in some capacity. There's an OC, maybe the head coach. I don't know what the timeline on that is. Yeah. That's just what I think might happen.
I wouldn't argue with what you're saying, but if the job had went his direction, I think he could have handled that job just fine because of everything you just laid out and the connections and the experience he has. His dad was as good a high school coach. You mentioned both of them. Rick Jones and Barry Lunny are as good a high school coach as this state's ever seen. So, Barry's pedigree, while a lot of it isn't in college football, is very strong, and I would have trusted him with that job. But clearly it's worked out, and I think it's, you know, we've heard some of these backstories, but for Sam to tell it and, you know, the emotions he was going through, I think is interesting to a lot of people. You feel like you won a handful of games this last year with three, but you feel like you won six. You know, it's just you got to a bowl game, obviously didn't get to play it, but you feel like you had a better season with the level of competition you had to play and the way you played a lot of these games. And you just wish maybe the LSU or that Missouri game, or certainly the way the Auburn game had ended, had given you another win or two, and then how would we feel about all of this? So Sam's clearly got this thing headed in the right direction. A lot of it's with the staff he's hired is the reasons why.
So another story that was told on the Saturday Down South podcast with Sam Pittman, Connor O'Gara, was about Barry Odom. And here's what he had to say about Coach Odom. Barry has stayed here for the last 2 years for a significant amount of money that he could have made more if he had left. But he believes in the administration, and they've been very helpful along the way. And when it came to him being offered another job, they took care of that. He talked with Hunter, and they got that figured out real quick. So Sam Pittman gave a lot of credit to the administration, Hunter Yurecek, and how they were able to retain Barry Odom. Really intriguing interview, and Carter did a really good job. I encourage you, if you haven't gotten a chance to listen to it, go listen to it because it's worth your time.
Yeah. So when you look at where they're at right now, and you look where Barry's at financially, 1.75. And Arkansas's never paid an assistant coach that much. So he's getting a chance to make up for any lost money he'd have had as a coordinator elsewhere. He's going to make up for a lot of it here in the next year or two at Arkansas.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast.
A bright red Razorback caravan is headed to Nebraska, and this time we're coming for the whole damn thing.
Clay,
hey baby,
Tommy didn't know this theme song. I wouldn't have guessed it.
I couldn't tell last time I heard.
Can you place this theme song, Clay?
I'm a bit confused. Yeah, maybe, but I got you pegged.
Do thinking or is he there?
I don't know.
I'm thinking. Oh, I know what it is. It's Frazier.
There you go. Well, Clay, I don't know if you're
your recall was better than mine.
I had to listen to a little bit.
It's very unique.
Yeah, it is coming back to Paramount Plus. I know a lot of our listeners
love it.
Really enjoy. You a big fan?
Oh yeah, we watched all of them. Okay. Yeah. So, you know, we had a weekend place in Cotter that we didn't have real TV. All we had was our next door neighbor's Wi-Fi, and so we watched Netflix.
Now, hang on. Well, time out. Did the neighbor next door know you had the Wi-Fi?
Oh, yeah. Nope. Yeah, and I would once a month leave a case of beer on his doorstep.
That's a good man.
Pretty good deal.
No, it was a handshake deal.
Better story if he didn't, but anyway.
Our houses, well, you'd have to know the password. I mean, you couldn't just take it. So
just hack it.
Yeah. Well, I don't have the ability to do that. I mean, I wouldn't know how to start. I guess you'd guess some of the things, you'd enter his wife's name or some things like that, and maybe you'd get in. But, yeah, I asked him about it, and I said, hey, how about if I – and he'd said, just take it. Don't worry about it. Here's the password. And so, but I figured out what his favorite beer was. It's a guy from Oklahoma. He was a weekender just like me. Mm-hmm. And I'd get those little short, stubby Coors bottles.
Say Coors or Coors Light is exactly right.
No, Coors.
He liked the banquet beer.
He liked the banquet beer, the little stubby bottles.
A couple of yellow bellies. Yeah. That's what we used to call them.
Yeah. So we watched all the Frasers. We watched all of the Breaking Bads. I think we watched Cheers 2 times through.
Okay.
So those are kind of things.
You saw Kelsey Grammer a lot then in both of them.
Oh, yeah, we did. And we like him a lot. He's top shelf. Yeah, he's really, really good. And of course, the writing for those shows is really wonderful.
Well, that bleeds right into kind of the conversation I wanted to do here as we close down shop. Got a chance to talk with Clay on Trust in the Process earlier this week. I didn't know he was a Frasier fan, didn't know he was a Cheers fan. We didn't get to that story. But a story we did get to, which I texted Dusty Hannis about yesterday, Clay caught for Dusty's dad, Gerald, in a little bit of Legion ball back in the day. And if you haven't heard the clip, first of all, go listen to it. It's about 45 minutes, well worth your time. HitThatLine.com, wherever you listen to podcasts. Here's the clip of Clay telling me this story on Wednesday.
I was unaware of this, but you actually caught for Gerald Hannis back in the day. Now, that's Dusty's dad. Was that at Central, or when was
it? No, so we were actually rivals in high school. He went to Hall, and I went to Central. And now, I only played 1 year of Legion ball, and I played as a 16-year-old and made the Colonial Bread team. I played second base, a little outfield, and was the backup catcher. But Gerald was, you know, 6'4", 6'5", and he threw 92 to 95, and he had a devastating 12-6 curveball. He danced that one up just behind the plate, and, you know, you'd have to block it. And I got into some games catching. I'll never forget, I think Tommy had gotten hurt, and I was in the game, and Gerald called. It was in the last inning. We were up. There was a runner on third, which made me nervous. He would throw it in the dirt, you know, like a breaker in the dirt for the last strike. And he called me out to the mound. He says, we're going to run the fake pass ball. Ty, have you ever heard of the fake pass ball before?
It's where you act like the ball got behind you, but in reality you have it. Is that right?
Yeah. He'd throw it in the dirt. I smothered it, and I turned, ducked around the umpire, and started sprinting for the screen. This was at Kern-Conway Field. The runner broke from third. I fired it to Gerald. He threw it to the third baseman, and they got him out. And we come off the field, and our coach is like, what was that? And I wasn't going to say a word. I'm 16. I just looked at Gerald, and he says, Clay called the fake pass ball and came out to the mound.
He pinned it on you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And he just looked at me, and he goes, we don't do that.
Wow. And,
I was telling Van Horn that one time, and he's like, really? Y'all did that? I said, that's Hannis. I mean, he's a crazy, crazy dude.
Again, you can listen to Trusting the Process on the Hit That Line Podcast Network, built by the Breeden RV Center, wherever you listen to podcasts. And that was one of just the few great stories that Clay shared with me and so many other of our listeners this week. And I clipped out the part of the end, but Clay, you also talked about that he would throw knuckleballs and just beam your shoulders during practice.
Oh, yeah. I mean, as the backup catcher, you know, before the games, I'd go warm him up. And of course, I'm a 16-year-old. He was very good to me. There's lots of other stories. I mean, all the 18-year-olds on that team, Bruce Mitchell, there were, you know, a bunch of guys. They were great to me. Mm-hmm. And I played on the basketball team at Little Rock Central, and all these guys played high school basketball. So we knew each other really well from basketball. But Hannes in warmups would throw knuckleballs, and you couldn't catch him. I mean, he's throwing it a 90-mile-an-hour knuckleball. And, I mean, you better wear your full gear when you went to warm him up, and better wear your cup. I mean, it was an adventure. Oh, he thought that was hilarious. And we come back, it's like, he never threw a knuckleball in the game, but you knew about three or four times in the warmups, he's going to throw one of those, and it just danced. Oh, yeah.
Man. Yep. Well, Dusty, again, I text Dusty that clip yesterday, and he thought that was hysterical. So I thought that was pretty funny.
Well, that's Gerald. Yeah. I mean, you have to know him, and he's a unique individual. And Dusty, just being raised by that man makes Dusty unique.
One of the things that we failed to get to at this point, and that's on me, is I posted a picture of you and Mrs. Jean Ann walking down the aisle in y'all's wedding. And now Tommy and I have a buddy, mid-30s, who's, I said initially he was going to get engaged, but we don't know if he's going to get engaged. Yeah. And to get engaged, the lady has to say yes.
Yeah, it's kind of like catching a touchdown pass. Someone's got to throw it, someone's got to catch it. You got to ask the question, and she's got to say yes, or you're not engaged.
And this is his second go-around, so he's open. It goes relatively...
Same second go-around, same... Girl or
different girl? So he's 0-for-1.
So he's got a little anxiety.
Yeah. So he's 0-for-1 on this. So he needs to make sure that it goes according to plan. Clay, what
pressure?
What? Because I didn't ask you, so I'll ask you this now. What was your engagement? What was that process like with Mrs. Jean Ann? How'd that go back in the day?
I asked her and she said yes.
All right. Simple as that. How'd yours go within Mrs. Laura?
We had dinner at a great restaurant in Destin, Florida.
Okay.
My oldest daughter, who was much younger then, because this would have been 2003, summer of 03, summer of 02, pardon me, summer of 02.
Okay.
Nope, summer of 03. Let me get my years right. We met in 02.
Okay.
03, summer of 03. And I couldn't think of any place better to ask someone to spend the rest of your life with them than on the beach in Destin, Florida. So... that's how that went.
That's pretty good. Should he have any apprehension?
She still hasn't answered the question, but I'm guessing after 17 years of marriage.
Did she not say yes?
No, she said okay. Yes.
She's just kind of looking at you.
She's wondering about that answer right now.
She saw the ring and she just took it. She never said yes or no. She just liked the ring.
You know, Todd, just to go back to ours, we've been dating for a long time, and it was pretty much assumed we were going to get married. And I got a job offer to go to Tulsa, and... oh, it was just like a couple of weeks before then. I was like, man, I got to do this. And she figured out, Jean Ann figured out that she could do her student teaching in the spring, her last semester of college in Oklahoma. And so that kind of convinced us. And we were like, we're going to go ahead and get married in December. And then you'll come out in January to Tulsa and do your student teaching. So it was really... things just kind of fell in place, and it was like, okay, I need to ask her. And I mean we'd already talked about it. We knew. I'd already asked her dad, and that was all. So it was a pregone conclusion, I guess.
So in about 30 seconds, both of you guys, what piece of advice we have for the guy that's trying to go 1-for-2 and not be 0-for-2?
First, talk to her father, make sure that you have the blessing, and I know that's probably not done today, but it should be.
And by the way, this is not me like positioning like just a fake figure out there, and that like I'm doing.
Oh no, this is the real deal.
This is a real thing. What's your advice?
No, I think he's exactly right that need to show that respect and ask that, but then it's the details. I mean, you want to make sure every detail and every contingency, like it may rain this weekend. This is an outdoor deal. You better have a backup plan because you only get one shot at this.
No pressure, right?
You know, but instead of it being a private moment between two people anymore, we've turned it into this grandiose deal that it's the millennial thing.
Yeah.
Subscribe to the Hit That Line Podcast Network, the best podcast in the Natty State. Just search Hit That Line wherever you listen to podcasts. Brought to you by Breeden RV Center.